Morning.
Good morning.
How is everyone on this sunny day? Good? Nice and cool, Georgie says. Yes. Compared to, well, it is nice and cool, I guess, comparatively speaking. Jeff is away today and Mary is away today. They are taking some vacation time before school cranks back up and get busy there. So, in light of that, Mary will has asked me to announce that there will be no book club tomorrow. They'll push that back to August 1st, so make a note of that if you're involved in that ministry. Also, Wednesday night, we will have our regular scheduled events for our Wednesday night schedule. This Wednesday night, we will have Bring Your Own Sack Supper, and then we will have our Bible study time, and then we will have... And Cameron's going to come tell us about what we're going to have after that.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So I'm here again to remind you about Stay and Play that is going to be on this Wednesday night. We had a great time playing bingo this past week. And this week we're going to have field day. We're going to have activities for all kinds of ages, so don't worry. But it's going to start right after our Bible study, and it'll end somewhere around 7:15. So I hope to see you all there.
All right, field day. How many of you remember field day from elementary school? We talked about that 9 o'clock service. That was kind of a... So we'll have even more fun than field day at elementary school, okay? Come and join us Wednesday night. You have on your pews there, you should have a little red pew pad at the end of it. That is the way that we kind of... Two things we do with that. We see who are among our people are here, but we also see who our guests are. So if you don't mind, if you would take that little red pew pad and write your name and address on there if you are a guest, or if you need us to correct your address or phone number, you can make those corrections on there, and then mark, check the appropriate boxes on there and tear that out and leave it on top of the pew pad, and ushers will take that up at the end of the service. So if you are a guest with us here this morning, we want to extend a special welcome to you. Our ushers are going to come down the aisle, and they've got some packets of information that they want to give to you. And the way they're going to know who you are is if you'll just slip up your hand or catch their eyes, some way let them know that you're guests with us this morning. They will give you that packet, and in that packet you will find a lot of different things. You will find some little brochures telling about the different ministries of College Park, the missions that we're involved in locally and internationally, and there's also probably a copy there of our highlights, which is our monthly mail out that gives you a calendar and everything that's kind of going on in the life of the church. And I hope that you'll take that and read it this afternoon, and be sure and give us a call if we can help you, or if you have questions, be glad to talk with you about that. Members, be sure to notice where our guests are and take an opportunity to welcome them this morning. We come together as God's people, and as we talked about last week and the week before, it truly is a privilege to come together and to worship. We take that for granted so many times, but it is a privilege. And so I invite you during this next few minutes as the prelude is playing. The prelude is "Great is Thy Faithfulness," and what better way to prepare our hearts for worship than to acknowledge God for who He is, as well as all that He does for us. So let us prepare for worship.
Thank you.
Let's pray together. Gracious Father, as we come into your presence as your children, preparing our hearts for worship, setting aside all the distractions and even the good distractions, the things that perhaps would keep us from focusing just on you, help us to set all of that aside. Father, to live in your presence, to offer praise to you, to have a conversation with you through prayer and through Bible study and learning more about you and who you desire for us to be. Father, we thank you for the blessings of this week that you've poured out on us. And we pray that we would respond in a way that gives glory to you. Nothing for ourselves, Father. All about you. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen.
Have a very meaningful and powerful passage to look at today, and it's Psalm 85. If you would like to take your Bible or pick out a Bible from the back of the pew and follow along, that would be great. You showed favor to your land, O Lord. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people and covered all their sins. You set aside all your wrath and turned from your fierce anger. Restore us again, O God, our Savior, and put away your displeasure towards us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger through all generations? Will you not revive us again that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your unfailing love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. I will listen to what God the Lord will say. He promises peace to his people, his saints, but let them not return to folly. Surely his salvation is near those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in our land. Love and faithfulness meet together. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness springs forth from the earth, and righteousness looks down from heaven. The Lord will indeed give what is good, and our land will yield its harvest. Righteousness goes before him and prepares the way for his steps. Would you please join me in a time of prayer together? God, we hear these words of forgiveness, of blessing, and assurance. We know that you're a jealous God. We know, oh God, that we often displease you and run our own way and sometimes run ahead of you, meaning well, but we still do. You understand our humanness, how we long for your will, but yet at the same time we tend to do our own. We tend to follow our own thoughts and own mind because that's what we're the most familiar with sometimes. And then when we stop and listen to you in the quietness, when we look up at a sunrise or a sunset or the rising height of the mountains, when we look across the beautiful ocean, Father, we see your majesty. We are reminded how powerful you are, and we are reminded that your love is boundless and never ending, and that you've provided a way for us to come to you in and through Jesus Christ, your Son. Thank you so much for providing a path to that forgiveness and grace. Thank you so much for suffering for us, that we would not have the ultimate suffering. Thank you for sending our beautiful Savior. Thank you, O God, for restoring us to you through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We want to praise and honor you today with our lives, with our spirits, with our mouths, with our minds. Please, Father, continue to shut out the distractions that would keep us from coming to your throne, that would keep us engaged in the world that's calling and calling us. We pray, O God, that you today will continue to be foremost, that Jesus Christ will be lifted up not only today, but when we leave this place in our lives and families. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day, your day. My prayer is our minds will settle, our hearts will open to hear the message you want us to hear today. Thank you for your presence with us today. Please bless these gifts to your will and the giver to your service. May others see you and us as we leave this place. In your holy name we pray. Amen. I hope that this music today will minister to your heart and speak to you of what is most important in our lives and why we're even here today, and of our hope and assurance that's always with us. For with Christ, we're never alone, you are never abandoned, and you always have a ready hope and a ready Savior waiting for you.
That old longing in your soul, you may search the wide world o'er, but you'll be just as before. You'll never find true satisfaction until you find the Lord, for only Jesus can satisfy too, for only Jesus just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, let all heaven
are going to take off on a passage of Scripture today, which is our lectionary text. It's from Luke chapter 11. We won't get to it yet, but I want to give you kind of a preface. Luke chapter 11 deals with prayer. And when we get to where we're reading the text, you're going to go, wait a minute, that's not the version I learned when I was a child. That's okay. Just relax. We'll deal with it. Matthew chapter 6 is probably what you're thinking about, but we're going to be reading it from Luke 11. And of course, as I preparing remarks about Luke, one of my fallback commentaries that I like to reference is a book called Reading Luke by Dr. Charles Talbert. I also found some remarks by Amy Hassel, very helpful this week, as well as the Disciples Study Bible has a lot of thoughts and comments, not just in Luke 11, but also back in Matthew chapter 6, about prayer and the nature of the prayer and Jesus teaching us how to pray. And all of this came about, number one, because it is a lectionary text, but also because last week, an interesting thing really happened. As I sat and I listened to both the 9 o'clock and the 11 o'clock service, when the youth were giving their report on their mission trip to Belize, it kind of took me back several years. A similar thing happened when we came back from a mission trip to Haiti, and then I got to thinking about trips to Antigua and third world environments. You know, in those places, typically as Americans, when we go into those places, we have this mindset that we are going there to seek to minister to those who are less fortunate than us. And what we usually find is people who definitely have challenges in sustaining a way of life that we would consider to be less than tolerable. But in almost every case, what I've found is some of these same people are engaging in life, and they're engaging in relationships in a way that, quite frankly, would put most of us to shame. We're locked up in our houses. They're out in everybody else's yard and houses. It's unbelievable. You see, most of their time and energy is spent seeking to strengthen relationships with other people. Now, granted, part of that is a survival technique. Part of that, your network, your peeps, your people. You know, you've got to have people in order to have physical survival. We understand that. But also, what they're doing is that they're building up the kingdom of God, one relationship at a time. And yes, they don't have the material goods we have. But yes, they don't have to spend all the time and energy to try to maintain those things. Therefore, they can focus on things that are quite a bit more important. Their worship, by and large, is rich and genuine, lifting up praise to an ever-present, deeply personal God. Even though they may not stylistically worship like us, their worship is meaningful. Their deep, genuine smiles reveal the deep nature of their existence beyond trying to have and support just a temporary kingdom of material things. Now, granted, many of them will die much sooner than us, you know, due to inadequate health care and nutrition and all of those type of things. But the time that they do have, in many cases, granted not all of them, but in many cases, the time they have is rich and it's full. It's helping and receiving help from their fellow human beings. And as I processed all of this in a period of, you know, 20 minutes while the youth were talking, as I'm processing all of this, it made me wonder, and I even made a comment to Michael Groover afterward, the service. I'm like, you know, I sit and I hear these things and I go, are we really the fortunate ones? We say they are less fortunate. Sometimes I wonder if we really believe that this existence is more than just a speck on the timeline of eternity, if it's building for something else, and if we truly believe that relationships is what we take with us when we leave here. That's it. I mean, that's the most rich thing we can do. But that's what we take with us. If we truly believe those two things, then why do we spend so much time acquiring and guarding stuff that doesn't matter? You see, the contrast for me in the report and the hearing of the people, and again, focusing on that, the contrast of that and 21st century America is very convicting and very disturbing for me. Are we really the fortunate ones? You know, with the realization of a coming eternal kingdom, I believe should come the reminder that we serve a God who desires deeply to be in relationship with us. A God who loved us so much that he sent his Son to show us how to have healthy relationships. He talked among us. He walked. He talked. And it's recorded. Much of what he did is recorded. Much of what he said is recorded. You see, but a God of relationship, this would have been totally a new concept for the people who walked on earth with him. This was new information. So when the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray, remember that people then thought of God as this distant, unapproachable king of the universe, if you will. Even though God's personal name appears more than 6,800 times in the Old Testament, in Hebrew scriptures, it was never spoken out loud because it was thought to be too sacred to actually fall from the lips of mortals. Jews had dozens of what we would probably call nicknames, things like El Shaddai and Adonai and Hashem, that they used to avoid speaking God's name directly. It was kind of like nicknames. And it was only once a year during Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, that the high priest would speak the name. He would do that 10 times. He would speak the name. So to be sure, the Judaism is a tradition that is rich. It's full of personal and intimate conversation with God. But it appears that the disciples, as we'll read in just a moment, had either lost their connection with that part of their tradition or that they never had it in the first place. I suspect that if they had any kind of prayer life at all, they really weren't getting much out of it. And I wonder, does that sound familiar to you? Do you say, Pastor, I talk to God all the time, but I just don't seem to get anything out of it? It was different with Jesus, though. If you read, it was different with him. And the disciples noticed. They noticed the importance of prayer in his life. They observed that prayer made a difference for him. Now, we don't know exactly what difference they saw because it's not recorded for us, but we can certainly make some educated guesses. For example, perhaps they saw that he had a peace about him in the midst of all the chaos, calm in the midst of life's storms. Perhaps they saw that his courage was incredible while they were shaking in their sandals. Perhaps they saw his patience when they were at their wits' end, when they were like, just get rid of the people. We need some downtime here, Jesus. And he was always patient. Perhaps they saw his assurance that it was all going to work out. It's all going to come out all right. Even though at that moment it may have appeared to them that there was no possible way could good come out of these circumstances, Jesus somehow had that assurance. It's all under control. Whatever benefit they saw Jesus receiving through prayer, they wanted in on the action. We know that because our text today tells us in Luke chapter 11. It says, one day when Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. Then he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and said, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Then the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. And so I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now, some of you, as we were reading through, you know, verses 2, 3, and 4, are going, wait a minute, that's not the version I learned when I was a child. So what is it we're supposed to pray? What words exactly is it? Notice he didn't teach them what to pray. They desired to know how to pray. So even though this is an abbreviated version of what's recorded in Matthew chapter 6, the focus is on not exact words, but how to pray. In what spirit do we pray? They said, Lord, teach us how to pray. And the strange thing is, the first word out of the mouth of Jesus, when he's teaching them how to pray, must have left them with their mouths hanging down here. Because he says, Abba. The NIV translates it, Father. That's probably not the best translation, to be quite honest. The Aramaic word there that Jesus spoke meant daddy. Our modern equivalent would be daddy. Daddy. That four-letter word that looks the same forward and backward. builds a bridge across the universe and tells the disciples then and now that the King of the universe invites us to cross over that bridge and to come up and sit on his lap. That's really what it's saying. It's that kind of intimacy. It's that kind of deep personal relationship. Daddy, I need that kind of intimacy in my relationship with God. In past months, more than ever, I need that kind of intimacy with God. How about you? I need to know that he cares that deeply. You see, but for them to entertain that type of intimacy with God, for those disciples, that was beyond their wildest dream. That they could not have come up with that themselves. Best case scenario on what they thought Jesus was going to say in the first word out of his mouth, Daddy. It blew their mind. I know it did. That was new information. That kind of relationship was new information. And Jesus goes on and he continues to assure them that Daddy wants to care for them, to supply their needs, to hear their request. He's not too busy running the universe in order to have a conversation, to hear about their concerns, what bothers them, those deep things in their heart that bothers them. He wants them to have bread enough to live on. He does. He wants to know about the guilt that plagues their conscience, that wears them down. He wants to know about that. He wants to heal that. He wants to know about the worries that just hold them back, the future they're worried about, or their children, or their circumstances, or their parents, or whatever. He wants to know. And he tells them that he doesn't mind if they just keep coming over and over. He loves the time with them and with us. He desires that time with us. Our heavenly Daddy may not answer right away, but he will eventually give the best answer. And finally, last but not least, Jesus tells them that God will always give them what they truly need. Maybe not what they want, maybe not what we want, but what we need. As hard as that is to believe sometimes. And a special bonus, he finishes up, he says, the meeting of your needs will be accompanied by a powerful wisdom from the Holy Spirit, so that they and we can understand what it is that he's giving and why he's giving it. That's what those last verses mean. With the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, we will see how God, in his steadfast love, will fulfill his purposes for our lives. Man, the ever presence of God in our lives that makes all the difference in the world. Whether we live in a third world country or whether we live here in America, God with us, Abba, Daddy, a deep, personal, intimate relationship with God who created and who cares for us. This past week, we had an opportunity to get away with Ashton down to the beach and had a great time down there. And one night we went to, it was toward the end of the week, we went to a little place on Ocean Isle called Ocean Isle Fish Company. Have you ever eaten there? Okay, all right, good place. Add that to your list. It really is. It's a good place. It's kind of on the waterway there at Ocean Isle, very quiet. For those of you that follow me on Facebook, you saw the dog laying on the pile of ice. That's where he was. It was at the Ocean Isle Fish Company. All right. And while we were there, we had this little waitress. She looked like she was maybe 2 or 3 years older than Ashton. So, you know, we were kind of visiting with her, kind of friendly with her. And she was doing a great job, very attentive as a waitress. But at one point, she reached across and filled my glass with iced tea. And I noticed a small little tattoo on her wrist with a scripture verse. A psalm passage, and I looked at that, and I go, okay, note to self. And then when she went away, I went, Psalm 26:5. I don't know that one right off the top of my head. I know that shocks you all. Psalm 26:5, what does it say? And so I got my phone out, Yeah, and looked up Psalm 26:5. And Psalm 26:5 says this: I abhor the assembly of evildoers and refuse to sit with the wicked. And I'm sitting there going, that there must be a backstory here. and I personally can't wait to hear it. So then Sandra and Ashley and I began speculating at her young age what has happened in her life that she abhors the assembly of the evildoers and refuses to sit with the wicked. And we thought, well, maybe she had a friend who was hurt or something that happened in a family or friend relationship. And she's going, you know, this is going to be a reminder to me. I'm going to stay away from these kind of people because they're no good. They'll get you in trouble. So she comes back to the table. And without staring, you know, at her wrist, I just said, honey, I couldn't help but notice the tattoo on your wrist. Can you tell me about it? She said, yes, it's Psalm 46:5. I went, whoa, 46:5. Okay. Really? Oh, yeah. Yeah, 46:5. And I know it shocks you. I didn't know that one either. So I said very smoothly, which says, and she quotes it, God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Went, oh, yeah, that probably makes a little more sense. Yeah. And I said, so tell me your story about it. And she went on to tell us about some goals that she had in life. She's a runner. She'd run marathons and, you know, talking about personal best and time. She said, but I didn't want to do it over something like that, something as trivial as that. And she says, but as I began seeing goals that God was helping me to conquer in my own life, one of those things was getting into the School of Anesthesiology in Raleigh. And she said, I'll begin in the school there in the fall. And so we're like, well, congratulations, you know, congratulations. I told her Ashton was in school in NC State. So we're visiting there a little bit. And it gave her an opportunity to tell us about her life, about her faith goals, and how God had helped her along in her journey. A young lady who had learned those lessons at a fairly young age. We thought at the time, wow, we'll pray for this little gal. We'll pray for this gal. Because God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. She wanted it to be a reminder to her, and it's certainly a reminder to us. God is with us. Or to quote the psalmist, God is within us. So it makes me wonder, what's our excuse? How are we as modern day disciples doing in our walk with God? In our conversations with God? In our prayer life? Are we spending time with Him? Are we going across that bridge and curling up in His lap and just pouring ourselves out to Him? And then hearing from Him? Are those conversations that you have drawing you closer to your Heavenly Father, to Daddy? When is the last time that you did that, just poured yourself out to Him? You see, that's not new information for Him. He knows all about us. Let Him heal you. Let Him comfort you. The Creator of the universe has reserved a space for you right there with Him. He invites you to a place where you will be comforted, restored, fears alleviated, sometimes challenged or redirected. The question is, will we accept the invitation? The invitation to be with God. Let's pray and ask for His help. Gracious Father, we confess that there's a lot going on in our lives, and most of it's probably not that helpful to our relationship with You, because a lot of it is geared around what we can do in order to make our lives better, or what we can do to help someone else. And Father, while that may seem noble, probably the better question is, what will You do through us? How will You use us? And God, we know that that starts out of a deep and personal relationship with you. And we know that that starts with time spent with you. So we ask now that our primary objective would be to spend time with you, seeking what you desire with us, from us. And all else will come into focus more clearly. God, help us not to get in a hurry and not to get ahead, but to constantly lean on your timing and your spirit to guide us, to comfort us, to direct us, to correct us. And in that way, as people see you in our lives, they will desire that same kind of relationship. And like the young lady we encountered at Ocean Isle, we pray that you would give us an opportunity, that there would be something distinctive about our lives that would ask, that people would ask, so what is it about you and God? Help us to be ready not to offer a theological treatise, but just to share what difference you make in our lives. God, we love you and we thank you for the gifts, the good gifts that you send every day. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. If you're here this morning and you do not have that relationship with Christ, that primary relationship with Christ, today is the day to settle that. We'll stand and sing in just a moment. And as we're singing, I'll be here at the front and I'll be glad to share with you how you can invite Christ to be your personal Savior, how you can have that relationship with the eternal God through His Son, Jesus. If you're here and you say, Raymond, I am a believer, but wow, I've kind of gotten a little bit off track in terms of my priorities. Welcome to the club. We all have to refocus, all have to kind of come back to center. And you can certainly do that where you're standing, where you're singing, have that conversation with God right there. The altar will be open if you'd like to come here and pray. I'll be here at the front again if you'd like to speak with me and would like for me to pray with you. I'd be glad to do that. If you're here and you'd like to join this church, there are many ways we receive members. I'd be glad to talk with you about that. Whatever your pleasure, whatever your decision, I invite you to make that as we stand and sing together. invite you, be sure and greet